You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast, Saturday, October 12th. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in our Memphis studio tonight, going out around the world, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network. Just yesterday, Keith and I were having lunch, and there was a story in particular that we look forward in a rather grim way of bringing to your attention tonight. Of course, Keith and I get together every week to make a loose charting of the course we'll be navigating during the live installment of our program on Saturday. As it turns out, Keith, a few days ago, a white soldier, he was 20 years old, his name is Tevin Geik. Well, Tevin was murdered, allegedly, by some of his black comrades, fellow soldiers. At least that is according to the Daily Mail. You have to leave it to the Daily Mail in London to give you an accurate information about what's going on in America with our armed forces. He was actually murdered on base in Washington State by a group of black soldiers, or so the story reads. Let me read you the story, and then we're going to zero in on a couple of things that really make this story stand out. Of course, just another black-on-white killing is what you're probably thinking. Well, this happens every day. It happens several times every day. Just another story? Well, it is to an extent, but there's also more to it than that. And let me read you, and I'll tell you what's going on here. Police said that the stabbing death of a white army soldier, allegedly at the hands of a group of African-American comrades, was not a hate crime, despite witnesses claiming that the blacks were calling him a cracker during the confrontation. Well, that makes sense. It's not a hate crime. They were killing him while they yelled cracker at him. Not a hate crime. Okay, that's right. I understand. Tevin Geik, 20 years old, was left for dead in a parking lot near his base in Lakewood, Washington, in the early hours of Saturday morning. This would have been last week, Keith. And three soldiers, all black, have been arrested over the killing. In the hours after the stabbing, police said that they first believed the attack was racially motivated, but then decided that it wasn't, even though, again, they were calling him cracker while they were beating him to death. The mother of this slain soldier has chimed in, and this is what she had to say. There's just no way that Tevin would have said anything racist to provoke his killing. She said, quote, "I have a hard time with the racism because we have some really good friends who are black, and we consider them to be family. It couldn't have been racial on my son's side." Okay. Couple of things here. Number one, again, compare and contrast this killing to the media manufactured hysteria that surrounded the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman incident, where all of the evidence led to the conclusion that Zimmerman was defending his life, saving himself from being beaten to death by Trayvon Martin. That's why he got shot. But the entire force of the American media tried to paint that into a hate crime by casting the Hispanic Zimmerman as a white guy. Now, let's take this story. Similar story, somebody died. But in this story, three blacks, it appears, beat this kid to death, 20-year-old white kid, stabbed him, right, correct, while calling him cracker, and the police just say, absolutely not a hate crime, no way. But even more importantly than that, and that is important to take into account, his mother, Keith, his mother, the quote she gives to the newspaper, the Daily Mail, wasn't any, well, first of all, I mean, how could you even give a quote? If my daughter, Keith, you're a father, I'm a father, if any of our children were murdered, would you be able to hold an interview? Would you be able to function? I mean, there's absolutely no way. So first of all, I wouldn't be giving any quotes. But you can sure as hell bet that I wouldn't be apologizing on my dead child's behalf, saying they didn't do anything racist that would have provoked that. And what she's really saying is, if he had said something racist, he would have deserved it. He would have deserved it. But that was her first reaction. Not to mourn the death of her son, apparently. I mean, I'm sure she mourns him, but the first quote she gives is a quote that shows me that she felt compelled to show her loyalty to diversity above even her own child.
Isn't that incredible? A mother who has been so deracinated, so surgically removed of any sense of racial solidarity, even with her own son, that upon his death at the hands of three black people that obviously were targeting him for violence because of his race, they wouldn't have been calling him cracker if that were not the case. She is more interested in deflecting from her dead son any charge of racism than having anything negative or angry to say about the three animals who attacked her son and killed him. This woman doesn't deserve to have been a mother. She has no motherly feelings left in her. They have been boiled out of her by the astringent of political correctness. This is what's happened to white people. This is an unfortunate barometer of where we are as a society now. White people are so cowed by claims and charges of racism that they won't even say anything about their own child's death and the murderers of her own child for fear of transgressing the laws and the rules of political correctness. That's one thing. Secondly, look at the betrayal of our elites, in particular this prosecutor. How can any prosecutor with any sense whatsoever, with any modicum of common sense, conclude that this was not a hate crime? This is why we advised everybody to resist the hate crimes legislation with every fiber of their being. It's written in racially neutral language, but our elites have sold us out to such an extent that even an egregious example of a hate crime like this will be found not to be a hate crime if the victim is white and the perpetrators are black. Meanwhile, in a situation like the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin situation, it's always going to be found to be a hate crime.
And then, you know, this is what we're talking about here. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you have three black guys stabbing this kid to death. And by the way, he looks like a completely squared away young man. We have a picture of him on our website. Completely squared away by all appearances. The story gives no motive as to why he was murdered. Probably just another senseless black on white killing. I mean, they happen every day. But could you imagine three white guys beating a black man to death, stabbing him to death while calling him the N-word? Do you think that would be called a hate crime? Well, just again, look to the Zimmerman-Martin case. You know the answer to that. But again, his mother, the quote she gives, he would have said nothing racist. We have some really good black friends and we consider them family. Well, that's fine. That's what you want to say in the wake of your son's death. We got to take a break.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, before getting on with a couple of other stories that have piqued our interest, stories that we certainly want to share with you this hour, we're going to take a couple of calls. First, Tim in Arkansas. Tim, you are live and on the air.
What's going on, James? How are you doing, man?
Well, this is Keith. James just handed the mic to me. Everything's going great here, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, it was interesting that you were talking about that soldier's mother and basically what she said that contramanded that anything that any sense of racial awareness to what was happening to her or her son. I'm reminded of Amy Beale. And as sick as that display that woman put on was, Amy Beale's mother put on one that was even sicker.
Yeah. Explain to the listeners, if you would, Tim, who Amy Beale was. I know who she was, but I'm sure that there are people in our audience that don't know.
Well, she was an anti-apartheid activist and a student at Stanford. She'd been brainwashed by multiculturalism there and probably in high school as well. And she went to South Africa, and she was protesting apartheid, and she was attacked by blacks, stabbed, stoned, and murdered back in 1993. And what actually happened is 10 years after her death, her mother actually met with some of the people that stabbed and killed her daughter and held a memorial for her daughter. Now, that's not just the sickest thing you ever heard.
You know, in other words, normal parental feelings of love are trumped by political correctness. If you want any evidence of the strength of left-wing brainwashing on the white race, Amy Beale and now this mother are perfect examples. Amy Beale's parents, these parents, what in the world gets into people that they can't be outraged at the senseless killing by a bunch of brutes of their own child? I'm baffled by this.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation is, but you know that's what brought to mind. It's just the sickest thing I ever heard, and it's just I think in an effort to look good and appear to be politically correct, she did this, and it's just an example of how it's just like you say, It's a cultural AIDS is what we have. We have no defenses left.
No, that's right. Our cultural immune system has been disabled by political correctness. I think it was William Lind, who's been a guest on our show before, who said that political correctness is cultural AIDS. This is, that there's no better example than this story about the slain white soldier in Washington State, slain by three black comrades, fellow Army soldiers, or Amy Beale's situation with her parents. They're more interested in being politically correct than they are in mourning their own child's senseless death.
Well, political correctness and cultural Marxism is the religion of the left, and this woman's got it bad. Boy, she's a true believer, and no doubt about that.
Well, it's the state religion now in the United States of America, Tim, and everybody had better bow a knee. Thanks for the call. You know, and these.
Well, that's okay.
Well, thank you very much. These instances, Keith, we've made mention of a couple tonight, the two that you and Tim were talking about. But it's, you know, listen, there are a dime a dozen. I can remember in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, some yuppie young white girl who was no doubt disgusted by the life of white privilege that she had led. And what is white privilege? I mean, you live a decent life because your parents worked hard and your grandparents worked hard to provide such a standard of living for you, and you're supposed to feel guilty about that. That's something you should be proud of, something you should honor your parents for. But no doubt she felt horrible that her parents had worked and that she had been born white. And so she was going to go down and help the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And so she was down there and she was doing her best as you know, a racist white person to help the blacks, and she was riding around on her bike, and she was murdered. I mean, she was just killed. You know, that's it. So she's done. Again, the number of deaths that can be attributed to political correctness, we'll never know. Let's go to a caller, Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, James.
Hello.
Yes, I have two rhetorical questions, first of all, and then an observation.
Hit me.
If I may.
You may.
Yeah, first of all, where's this young man who was allowed to enter the military? Where's his father? And why wasn't he asked the question instead of the mother? And the observation that I would like to bring up is that anybody who knows a black man under 75 years of age better keep his left eye peeled, because they, on the street level and on the cultural level, they are your enemy.
Well, listen, and people may say, hey, I was listening to the Political Cesspool and I heard a caller say that. What a racist radio show. Well, you know, read the work of Colin Flaherty, who was a recent guest on our show, about the absolute pandemic of black on white racial violence. You must keep an eye open. This is a very
real threat.
Hey,
I'm going to back out of here because I'm listening to you on the internet. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Joe. It's a very real threat. It's a very clear and present danger. And before I toss it to you, Keith, Joe asked, where was this soldier's father? Well, the story doesn't say. It does have a quote from his stepfather. And his stepfather said something that a little more appropriate, something you might expect. I love you. The world is not as good without you in it. You'll be missed. Rest in peace. It doesn't say where his father was, though.
Well, I bet his father was nowhere in the picture. The triumph of liberalism triumphed in this particular family, and the wife probably divorced the guy. And as a result, her son didn't receive proper guidance, went into the armed services, totally unprepared to deal with the multicultural world that he had been thrust into, and wound up being killed. Now, just like Joe in Pennsylvania said, when the real race war comes, folks, you won't have to worry about what side you're on. The other side will be sure to let you know. And I don't care how many honorary certificates of membership in the NAACP that you have on the wall. I don't care about your contributions to the United Negro College Fund. I don't care how much bowing and scraping you've done or how much good deeds in the ghetto that you've done. They're going to see your white skin and the machetes coming down just as it's been coming down in Zimbabwe and in South Africa. Don't take my word for it. Check the internet. Look at the photographs. You know, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight. We are in a gunfight, folks. We are in a culture war, which is devolving into a race war. It's been brought about by political correctness and liberalism. That's the primary technique that has been used to brainwash whites into abandoning the sense of white racial solidarity that used to match the sense of racial solidarity that other groups had. Without it, we are bringing a knife to a gunfight, and that nothing good happens to the person who has the knife in a gunfight, folks. We better reclaim our guns. We better wake up, smell the coffee, and realize, like I read something this week, it said, our descendants are going to have to fight for that which we had as our birthright, but we're not able to hold on to. Why? Because we embraced liberalism. Liberalism is, as we have said on this show time and again, the modern face of evil. The sooner you realize that, the better off we're all going to be.
We're going to take a break, folks. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith Alexander has a quick, and I mean quick, final thought on the subject of the last segment. Then we got to get into something at least equally preposterous.
Tevin Geik, who was a soldier, the white soldier killed in Washington State by three fellow soldiers who just happened to be black, but of course it wasn't a hate crime, was undoubtedly a card-carrying liberal. He had drunk the Kool-Aid of political correctness. That's what his mother was attesting to in her comments. How could he have been the target of racial violence? Newsflash, people, it has something to do with your white skin. Your belief system has nothing to do with it. There is no invisible shield. There's no mantra of liberal catchphrases that you can use that can prevent you suffering the fate of Tevin Geis when confronted with racial violence. Get that through your thick head, okay? If you don't, you will end up like Tevin Geis. You know, Tevin Geis suffered the same fate as the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan would have. The only difference is the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan would have been steeped in racial reality, probably, and would never have let himself get into that situation. And if he had, he would have fought back. We've got to understand, folks, that you are the enemy. It doesn't matter whether you want to fight the war. Leon Trotsky, the famous Jewish Bolshevik, famously said, "You may not be interested in the revolution, but the revolution is interested in you." Well, the racial revolution is just as interested in you as the Bolshevik revolution was of people back in the early 20th century. So wake up and smell the coffee, folks. If you don't, you could be a victim and very possibly will be.
Well, I guarantee you one thing is for true, Keith. You will never see the names of these three black murderers grace the pages of the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. I'm actually at the Southern Poverty Law Center's website right now on their blog. Their blog is entitled Hate Watch with the subtitle Keeping an Eye on the Radical Right. They're not keeping an eye on radicals, mind you, but radical leftists, but what they call the radical right. Now, okay, what constitutes a radical in the minds of the Southern Poverty Law Center? Let me read you their top story. Their top story on their blog right now. Representative Randy Forbes cancels appearance at hate group event. Randy Forbes, now this is a member of Congress from Virginia. He was going to speak at a hate group event, but thank God the Southern Poverty Law Center was able to put pressure on him in advance, and he made the courageous decision to cancel his appearance at this hate group event. So was he going to speak at a Klan rally or some sort of a neo-Nazi gathering? Not quite. Let me read you the story. Representative Randy Forbes of Virginia canceled his planned appearance today at the Values Voters Summit. Forbes was set to headline a fundraising luncheon for the American Family Association, a hate group that helped bankroll the conference. The American Family Association is headed up, of course, by James Dobson. You know, by the way, the Southern Poverty Law Center actually contributed to a terrorist attack last year by pulling the same sort of stunts. They kept calling the American Family Association a hate group until someone took a gun in there and started shooting up the place. But, you know, They were evil haters. They were Christians. They were Christians who believe in what God says about homosexuality. So they had it coming. Representative Forbes apparently realized, the story continues, how bad it would have looked to spend the day raising money for a hate group instead of working on a solution to the government shutdown. This is what the Southern Poverty Law Center says. They don't say anything about Obama taking time out of working on the government shutdown to defame the Washington Redskins for their mascot. But this guy, all right, but look, here's the thing. our grandfathers and great-grandfathers certainly probably laughed during the early 1950s when the government was trying to ramrod forced integration down the throats of an unwilling public. They probably thought, as we might have thought a few years ago when all of this homosexual hysteria started to take root, that that will never last. It's so outlandish. It's so wrong that there's no way forced integration is going to stand the test of time. Well, now everyone bends the knee to forced integration. You have to worship it. They worship it in the churches. They worship it in the halls of Congress. They worship it in the media. Everybody worships it. We are actually seeing, Keith, with our very eyes, the line now being redrawn in the sand. It only happens on major issues like this once every couple of generations. But now we are seeing anyone, any Christian, who associates or takes a biblical stance with regards to homosexuality, they are being cast down with... You know, by the way, the thing that's ironic about the Southern Poverty Law Center is that if you look at the staff of the Southern Poverty Law Center, it's just as white as a Ku Klux Klan rally, if you consider Jews to be white. And there's a matter of debate for that. Certainly Jews don't consider themselves to be white, but they do look white. And so, you know, there's no black people or colored people of any nature in the hall of the SPLC. So that's pretty ironic to me. But anyway, this is what they're... What they're going after now, this is their big fish, is demeaning Christian organizations. The line's being redrawn. There is not one but two or three stories on the SPLC's blog this week about the Value Voters Summit, James Dobson, the Family Research Council, the American Family Association, how they're bigots, haters, so on and so forth. A couple of weeks ago, there was not one but two articles in the same week attacking Michael Perutka for his constitutional course, which, by the way, Eddie the Bombardier Miller was going to be teaching at his church before the class got canceled as a result of death threats that were issued to Eddie as a result of the class. So, but, you know, are the people who issued death threats to Eddie for wanting to teach a course in the Constitution, are they going to be put up as a matter of interest on the Southern Poverty Law Center's blog? Absolutely not. But the course itself, which takes a biblical view at the Constitution, is. And so is the James Dobson. So is the American Family Association. So we're proud to be on the hate watch list. The Political Cesspool was added to the hate watch list as a hate group in 2006. A pretty small group, just me, Keith, Eddie, and Winston. Bill Rowland was once a member of our group. So not much of a group. But then there's Sam Bushman. He is a one-man hate group. They actually have him listed as a hate group in Utah. He's a one-man band. So the litmus test for being a hate group pretty much is any decent person that believes in God, that loves his family, that tries to honor the American experiment by revering the Constitution, you are a bona fide hater. Now, yes, they sprinkle in Klan groups and things like that, I guess, just to kind of look somewhat legit, but no left-wing groups are on there. No left-wing groups. The people that really kill people and cause violence, when's the last time a Klan's been killing anybody? You go to a Klan meeting, you got 10 people there, that'd be a pretty large Klan group. Two of them would be petty criminals. The other eight would be FBI agents. So, I mean, come on.
Isn't it amazing that these people that are threatening death to people like Eddie for teaching this particular class are somehow magically exempted from being listed in the hate watch group listing? Meanwhile, somebody like Casper Milquetoast James Dobson, who makes Mr. Rogers of, Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS, who had the children's show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, makes him sound like some gangster thug or some wild-eyed radical. James Dobson, I mean, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. But you made a very good point, James, and I want to expound on it. The Southern Poverty Law Center is not as white as the Ku Klux Klan. They're as Jewish as the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Look at their members, Heidi Beirich, Mark Potok. These people are as Jewish as can be, as Benjamin Netanyahu. But you know what? That is a taboo topic. You can't bring that out. And if you ask James Dobson about the Jews, I guarantee you he would be waxing rhapsodic about how wonderful they are, how they're God's chosen people, how he who blesses Israel is blessed and he who curses Israel is cursed. Meanwhile, he's being blindsided by these people that he apparently loves so much and is being cast into the outer darkness. I mean, there are none so blind, James, as he who will not see.
We're going to take a break and come back with more, folks. Hang on to your seats.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
And the winner of fallback pricing is... you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, so I want to end this hour before Eddie the Bombardier Miller comes in with his featured guest of the evening. Bombay is going to be loaded tonight, you know that. I'm going to end tonight's second hour with a little bit lighter topic, I guess, the politically correct onslaught that the Washington Redskins are facing for their team mascot. You know, there was a couple of great articles that came out about this week, one on American Renaissance and one on WorldNet Daily. written by John Rocker. Yes, that John Rocker of Major League Baseball fame. He is still at it and still making good sense, just as he did at the height of his controversial days. You know, I'm really excited to see WorldNet Daily develop a very firm sense of racial consciousness. We've seen it with Colin Flaherty. We're seeing it with John Rocker still and his contributions there. And we've just got to work to dismiss the false notion that if everyone else embraces racial solidarity or consciousness, it's great, but when whites do it, it's supremacy or hatred. Absolutely not. But I want to first read from the article that appeared on American Renaissance. Of course, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Barack Obama took a little time out from dealing with the so-called shutdown to lambast the owner of the Redskins for not changing the name of the Redskins because it offends American Indians. That's not even true, by the way. Polls have been commissioned by the Redskins organization, and they found that 80% of American Indians that were polled liked the nickname. They thought it honored them. 20% of American Indians didn't like it. 80-20, that's a landslide in any poll. Of everyday Americans that aren't of American Indian ancestry, 90% love the nickname, 10% find it offensive. So 90-10 or 80-20 doesn't seem like this is a real – it doesn't seem like this is a controversy to the extent that the President of the United States should be addressing it. This is what the American Renaissance article had to say. American Indian mascots reflect the admiration of white people for the peoples they conquered. They are a tribute, not a put-down. The Army calls its attack helicopter the Apache because it respects the military prowess of Indians, not because it wants to make fun of them. And if mascots are an insult, why did so many Southern schools, like Ole Miss, have to get rid of Colonel Rebel, the battle flag, and any allusions to the Confederate soldiers? They were told they had to dismiss those mascots because they were offensive, because they glorified the South. But using Indians or one of its permutations as a mascot insults Native Americans? The only consistency is that is, as we said earlier, whites must always be at fault.
And furthermore, the left always gets to determine what is politically correct and what isn't. It doesn't matter what your motives are. All that matters is that you've transgressed the totems of a minority of the American population. A lot of people wonder why we make such a big deal of the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education case and say it was a turning point in American history. Well, this is a perfect example of why. The Brown decision said what the majority of the people of the United States believe and think is correct isn't worth a tinker's dam. Who cares? We are the 3% in the know. We get to govern the other 97% of you. You know, in Mississippi, back around the year 2000, when they held a referendum on whether or not to keep the rebel flag as part of the state of Mississippi state official flag, that won 65% to 35%, and there was even a majority of black people in Mississippi who voted to keep the rebel flag. So it doesn't matter what Indians think about the name Redskins. It doesn't matter what real black people in Mississippi think about the rebel flag on the Mississippi state flag. What matters is what the Jews that run the news media, like the New York Times or CBS or NBC, CNN, what they think. That's all that matters. We have elitist government, and the elites are wealthy Jews that are in charge of virtually every institution in our nation that sets moral and ethical standards. Wake up and smell the coffee, people. This is what's happening. You know, the name of our article is the Washington Whiteskins. Now, if we named them that, that would be objectionable too, I'm sure. So consequently, let's try to honor one of the groups that apparently is so worthy of honor today in our present culture, homosexuals. Let's call them the Washington Foreskins, okay? Or the Washington drag queens. Maybe that would get them off our back. But again, they get to determine whether you're honoring somebody or whether you're putting them down. It doesn't matter what the name is. They can spin it any way they want.
And the way they spin it will always be to put whites down. Whites are evil. There is something wrong that whites are doing. I want to read this article from John Rocker that appeared on WorldNet Daily. Or not read it all, obviously. We're running out of time. I don't want to give Keith the chance to offer a final word here before his time is up tonight. This is what John Rocker had to say. It's great stuff. With our government at a standstill and the debt crisis looming ever closer to a national catastrophe, Barack Obama made time to address an issue that truly affects every American. And that is, of course, what the professional football team in Washington, D.C. calls itself. But I'll tell you this, John Rocker continues, there is one mascot out there that will one day be much more controversial than the Redskins. That would be the New England Patriots. But wait, who in America could possibly be offended by the name Patriots? Are Patriots synonymous with everything good about this nation? Aren't the founding fathers the very Patriots the nickname suggests, some of the best men that our country has ever produced? Not in today's America, Rocker continues. These very founders aren't considered heroes anymore by our nation's education system. Kids are taught that they're evil, slave-owning white men who simply didn't want to pay taxes. Kids no longer learn about the great achievements of these men who founded the country. They instead learn all about the atrocities that were committed against American Indians, slaves, women, Hispanics, cross-dressing transvestites, and any other minority that is now granted angelic status by the liberal powers that be. The left hates our past, Rocker says, due to the very homogeneity and unity of culture that is embodied by our founders. They didn't have to worry about the construction of mosques on hallowed ground, transgenders demanding free sex changes, and illegal aliens expecting citizenship despite breaking the laws of our land. We had a unified culture that allowed us to band together to create an independent nation that would allow for liberty and freedom to flourish, not be stifled, or, as Charlton Heston put it, those wise old dead white guys that invented this country might have known what they were talking about. The Patriot mascot celebrates that controversial legacy, and so far, it hasn't elicited any cause for a name change like the Redskins have. We can all be thankful for that for now, but how long will the professional anti-racists wait before coming after the Patriots, especially if the Patriot mascot continues to look like those government-hating Tea Party partiers? That was John Rocker writing for WorldNet Daily. Powerful stuff. Keith, I don't think we could have said it any better ourselves.
Well, John, congratulations. When you hit the nail on the head, as we say out here in the country in Red State America, you drive it straight. You hit a home run with that. And let me tell you, that's what it's all about. Anything that glorifies white people or the heritage and history of our nation, which was dominated by white people, is going to come under attack sooner or later. That was Sam Francis's message to us back around the year 2000 when the Confederate flag controversy and the Mississippi state flag was a hot topic of the day. He had the prescience and the foresight to look ahead and see what was really animating all of this protest. And guess what? He was 100% on target, and everything that he predicted is coming to pass. As they said one time, what all the wise men said has failed to come to pass, and what all the damn fools were saying has come to pass. We're the damn fools. We're Lear's fools. We're telling the truth. We're letting you know what is in store for America. If you don't want to become a third world nation, if you don't want to live in a third world nation, you better get behind us and push, folks. That's all I got to say. Until next week.
Well, Keith, as always, we appreciate your contributions. And folks, you know, if you like this government, not this government, but if you like the principles upon which this nation was founded with regards to its government and constitutionalism, you know, all that comes from Western civilization, from European mankind. It took the best parts of Greek and certainly Roman traditions and improved upon them, and that's the American experiment. You wouldn't have a government like this. You wouldn't have a constitution if it wasn't for the West and the men that were spawned from that sort of society. And Keith, you know, you were talking about Jewish power and influence again, and we always want to add this little asterisk. The problem we have with Jewish-dominated media is it because they are Jewish. There's no hatred of them because of the race that they are or that they are Jews, but it's because the Jews that are in control of the media are, without exception, not just liberal, but rabidly leftists. and rabidly anti-white and anti-Christian. So we do take exception to that. We do objectively criticize that. We will tell you who they are. We will name their names and make a point to... And they even betray their own religion, by the way, you know, if you get down to it. Not the the atheistic secular humanist, Zionist, but, you know, Orthodox Jews, they betray themselves. We got to take a break. Third hour, forthcoming, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and his guest, Chris Ann Hall. Another woman's voice going to grace the TPC airwaves in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.